Let's begin. We are up to Simen Lamed Ches, Halacha Ches, on page Reish Tes Vav. Anyone needs more copies? More copies if anyone needs. Simen Reish Tes Vav, Halacha Ches, Avalim Amavashelis, Veshvil Atzma Levada, Ein Regilus, Sheyachta Yisrael. He's talking about in ancient times when there was a coal oven and members of the family would stoke the oven. It's not going to make a difference, it's not going to help you in this situation if she's cooking for herself. Even the Tznai Regila Sheyachta Yisrael. Now he says something, he says a very big chiddush, which we pass in the halacha. The afilu, the afsha deloy mahani bezechitui. He says a lot of very powerful idea in a few words. Even if the Jew would stoke the coals, it doesn't make a difference. And this is accepted as halacha today. If a goy in your home, in a Jewish home, makes food, cooks food for herself or himself, and the food they cook, even if the Jew turned on the fire and the Jew put the pot on the fire, but if it's being made for the goy, it is osur mishum bishul akum. That's a very big chiddush, a very big chumrah. If a goy makes kosher food for themselves and has leftovers and you want to eat it and the ingredients are kosher and the Jew turned on the fire, the Jew did the cooking, but it was made for a goy, that's part of the original takana of bishul akum. The example our force gives is you have a Jewish home and the fire was lit by a Jew, and the one of the people of the family walks into the kitchen, and the housekeeper and the person who walks into the kitchen smells, oh, it smells so good, what are you making? So the housekeeper, the non-Jewish housekeeper, says, oh, I'm making an omelet for myself. She lives there in the house, she lives there 24/7, she's entitled to have some food, she eats, she makes an omelet. Oh, take it, you could have it. I'll make another one for myself, please take it. It is osur mishum bishul.
The Jewish mother is cooking, let's say, like you say, an omelet
for the goya
cleaning lady.
Yeah.
And the kids walk in and they want omelets too.
Okay. You know, I was wondering about that. He doesn't. I don't know what the halacha is in that case because he doesn't say that.
What about?
I guess it's the same thing. In a chanami, the pot appears to be no good. It appears to be that it requires kashering. There's a big dilemma if there's bishul akum, do you need to kasher the pots? Halacha l'maisa with machmir, you do need to kasher the pots, and that means you need in this case to kasher the pots. Well, it's bishul akum. This including the takana of bishul akum when a goy makes food for themselves, even if the goy, the Jew, lights the fire.
This is a very good solution. What he suggested that in a Jewish house that has glacial workers, you should have pots.
Exactly. That's how it has to be. And that, absolutely.
Those are tray for pots. Everyone who comes in and smells good, it's a tray for pots.
For a seminar.
It's like putting the whole Israel on the
That's why it's a very big problem having a housekeeper, because if you have a housekeeper.
Right. They should have a conveyor.
If you have a housekeeper, the housekeeper also needs to eat. So how do you ever feed the housekeeper? So what you do is, so basically saying is the housekeeper, she's making food for the whole family, and then you give her some of the food for the family, you give it to her as well. But it's going to come a point in time where she's going to want to make food for herself, and not for the rest of the family, and then there'll be leftovers, or then there'll be some type of problem with the kalim.
Yeah, today, I mean, unfortunately, my mother's 24/7, the healthcare worker, and she really knew a lot. She had been working from home for a long time. And Rabbi Almond told us how careful she was about a lot of things. But after my mother was nifted, we just threw out everything in the kitchen.
Absolutely. Because you don't know what's going on.
We just threw it all out.
It's even worse than that.
We just threw out all the dishes, all the pots, all the silverware.
It's worse than that.
Got rid of it, and that's it. Didn't want to know about it.
It's worse than that. Let's say someone comes to visit your...
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
And they offered it some nice...
Cake or
ravioli, whatever, and everyone says it's kosher. It's kosher. And I put on the fire, but it's my strength because of the vishalaka.
If she made it for herself,
but right. It was probably the fire was put on by the lady anyway because she originally cooked it. These old women don't cook anymore. All the home cares are doing all the work.
So that's
the
mamish
kitchen for the old person.
Right,
it's straight.
It's
no good.
All the kalim afterwards become straight. It's a big problem.
It's a very hard. But this is the ultimate problem. This is a very powerful thing. If a goy does everything is kosher and the Jew turns on the fire, but the food has been made for the goy, specifically for the goy, that is included in the prohibition of bishul akum. That's what he says. He doesn't doesn't say this, the Kitzur doesn't say this categorically, so you have to rely upon Hetera. We discussed yesterday some extreme leniencies in this matter. That if it's being made, there's a Tosfos that says if it's being made in a Jew's home, or if you have an Eved Kenani, we discussed yesterday, so those were two reasons, two different leniencies that there's no bishulakim. We don't accept either one of those two leniencies because we don't have Zman Hazeh Avodim Kenanim, and we don't accept the principle of Tosfos that if it's being made in a Jewish home, there's no bishulakim. However, after the fact, when it really was done, then you can be lenient. Here, when you're dealing with a guy making food for herself, he doesn't say categorically through all, he says the efsher. It's possible deloy mahani bezechitu. If a guy makes food for herself, it's possible that even if the Jew stirs it, it's not going to help. It's still going to remain non-kosher.
Like the Tanayo contract at the beginning there, whatever she cooks in that house is automatically for the family.
I guess so. Maybe.
You can solve the problem by
This case is worse than if the housekeeper cooks for the Jew. Now he goes on to not only is the tavshel problematic, but even elagam hakadera, gam hakadera. What's that word over there?
Nesra.
Levashalba, lechatchila. So here he tells another chumra that not only is the food forbidden, but the pots also become forbidden. Uvidiyevid yaseh she'elas chacham. Uvidiyevid, if you don't do not kasher, it's okay. That's what we discussed yesterday. The Mishnah Berurah, there are leniencies. And the leniencies are specifically when it comes to klei cheres. Normally, klei cheres have become treif. There is no hechsher. There's nothing you can possibly do. It has to be thrown in the garbage. But when it comes to bishulakum, Mishnah Berurah is very clear that you do hagolah three times on klei cheres. What?
What about restaurants?
What about them?
That's all true in restaurants.
Why in the restaurants? Yeah, absolutely.
If a guy cooks his own food,
absolutely, absolutely, then it's bishulakum. Then the kelim are treif. Yeah. If a guy in a restaurant, if you have goyish workers, they make for themselves their own food, even though the fire has been turned on by a Jew, it's being made for the guy. The ingredients are kosher, and the fire has been turned on by a Jew. So if the food was being made for a Jew, it would be perfectly permitted, perfectly fine, because... No, that it's bishulakum.
He made it for himself and you ate from it.
He made it, not even enough to eat, even if he doesn't eat. As long as he made it for himself, the food is forbidden.
You have a griddle in a restaurant, you can trade the whole griddle.
The food is forbidden. Now, I'm making the Garmi L'Mashav Zvachin in Dishla Devarim Sheshwam Bishlakam. Loy Levadat Havshal Gama Kadera. He makes it very clear the Kadera is also treif. Absolutely. You probably have this problem in a restaurant. You have to go talk to the kashrus people in the industry, because for sure, in the restaurants, 99% of the people who work there in the back are goyim, and there's no doubt about it, they are having lunch there, they're eating food there, and in fact, if I vaguely remember, that's a very big problem, because a lot of them, they have lunch, they go out for lunch, they go buy charfas, they bring lunch, and they go and they sit in the store, in the kitchen, and they eat their own lunch, they bought from home, or they bring from somewhere else, there's mamish treif, and they start using the knives, the kalim, and everything, they can make the kitchen treif. But over here is even worse. Another situation with this problem is, even if they don't bring into the store anything from the outside, if they cook in the store food for themselves, they are making the kalim treif. Because
the Jew eats from that food, right? Not otherwise.
Yeah, if a Jew eats from the food is treif,
and the
kalim are treif. That's what it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that just because the ingredients are kosher, just because the Jew turns on the fire, the efsher, deloy mahani beze chitui. Making the fire is not going to make a difference. The gora, it's worse. Mi'ilu mivashelas b'shvil Yisrael. It's much, much worse than if they would cook on behalf of a Jew. Ulechein, he makes it very clear, therefore, in bishlo devardim, if the non-Jew cooked things, sheyesh remishum b'shulev g'chavim, which is subject to the rules of bishulakum, meaning that it cannot be eaten raw, and it's oil al shulchan malachim, foods which are subject to the rules of bishulakum, and it was made for themselves, even though the ingredients are kosher, and even though the Jew turned on the fire, Loy levara tavshel. Not only is the tavshel forbidden, elagam hakadera nesra levashel bo lechatchili. You're not allowed to use these kelim any further. Uvidiyevri yashel schacham. The exception is that that if it's klicheres, you can do hagola three times, and if it's an electrical appliance that you cannot kasher because they'll get ruined in boiling hot water, you do not need to kasher. And also b'shas hatchak, if you just wait 24 hours and do nothing, it's also okay b'diyevet. That's another heter.
What if he does half and half? In other words, he's cooking a big
I'm going to take the leftovers. I don't know the answer. It's a very good question. He doesn't say that. Rabbi Force doesn't mention it, and he doesn't mention it over here. If you're not doing it only for yourself, you're doing it also for the Jew. So if there's a partnership between you and the Jew, does that have a problem with Bishalakim? I don't know the answer. It's L'chayra, I don't know. L'chayra, it's good, because that's what happens all the time. And you don't hear people talk about this. The guy also has to eat, right? So the guy knows that when they're cooking the food, they're cooking dinner for the family, they're also going to have a piece of the food. But similarly, since the majority is going to go for the family, it's not going to go for the housekeeper, L'chayra, it appears that it is going to be good. Okay, it's only a chum anyway, the efsher. So L'chayra, you have the grounds to make it where it's not only for the guy, where it's also for the rest of the family. Okay, let's go for the test. Now we come to new halacha. What happens if a Jew is in the matzav of sakana? A Jew needs to have a hard boiled egg on Shabbos. So the Jew cannot boil the egg on Shabbos because chil Shabbos. He can't light a fire on Shabbos. So the only way this Jew who is ill will eat his hard boiled egg is the guy is going to boil the egg on his behalf. But that means the egg is now bishalakum. So it's mutter. You have no choice. What's the alternative? The alternative is a Jew being mechal Shabbos. So that far Chazal did not go. Chazal did not enact a prohibition of bishalakum when it's going to come with a sakana. In this case, the guy is allowed to cook the egg for the Jew, and the Jew can eat the egg on Shabbos. But here comes the big problem. The big problem is what happens mitzvah Shabbos. Let's say the Jew only eats half of the egg. Only half the egg. And now it's Mitzvah Shabbos, and you want to eat the other half of the egg. So do we say, since Shabbos is over, and a Jew is able to cook the egg now, we don't need to be lenient anymore with Bishalakum, the other half of the leftover egg is Osir. Or do we say, no, since when the egg was cooked, it was mutter, it remains mutter forever. Another question, what about the kelim? When the guy cooked the egg for the Jew on Shabbos, he was allowed to do, because we had no choice. Now when Shabbos is over, do we need to kasher the kelim? So there's a big dispute. So here he mentions, let's see what he says. When it comes to the food itself, we are machmer, the food becomes asr. Also, the Mitzvah Shabbos, afilu l'choyle, even for l'choyle itself, and nefshu b'tavshu l'acher, if l'choyle can make for himself other food. It was only mutter on Shabbos when there was no other options. Uvi kelim, yesh lahatir, achar me'eis leis. The kelim do not need to be kashered. You just have to wait 24 hours. In regard to the kelim, we're going to be lenient, and we're not going to require the kelim to be kashered. Just wait a period of time. Let's see yud. Beit so'af bi shuri l'go. Now we're discussing one of the different rules of bishlakum. What? Anything that is prepared through heat, which includes cooking, roasting, frying, anything that's prepared through heat is subject to the rules of Bishul Akam. Bishul is used because it's the most common, but it applies to roasting, frying.
But let's say it's produced by cold.
No, mutter. So you mean salting. Salting. No. Anything that does not involve heat is not subject to the rules of Bishul Akam. Anything you put in the refrigerator to freeze a jello, or you salt something, things like that, that is not subject to Bishalakam. Now, halacha talks about eggs. Eggs, something, one of the rules of Bishalakam, it has to be something which cannot be eaten raw. Eggs can and are eaten raw. Therefore, just because a guy cooks the egg, why is it forbidden? Mishum Bishalakam. Doesn't matter. Beitza, afal pi sheruya legoma chaya. It's right to be swallowed raw. Doesn't matter. Mikomakam came in the zehavi rakakilay de atchak. It's not common. The average man does not eat, swallow raw eggs. Therefore, it's subject to the rules of Bishalakam and Bishul of the Chav Masura v'chein kol kayotze b'zeh. We follow the average. So the average person does. Yud Aleph. Peros.
Let's say you have this egg. And it falls into... You,
Roif, bittel beroif.
It's bittel beroif.
Yeah, we make it. You don't even come on to shishim. When it comes to very good. When it comes to bishul akum, you don't need shishim as long as it's not nikar. No, inal alivar lechatchila. But you don't need shishim. You only need shishim if you can taste it. If you can't taste it. You can't taste it. You can't. It's not noticeable. It's not discernible. Bottle beroif, lach b'lach is also roif. Certainly, lach b'lach is the best because lach b'lach you certainly can't see it. You certainly can't detect it.
You can't do it.
Absolutely not. Ein levalim isa lechatchila. There's no yinal in vatla. Absolutely not. Perish.
I hate to. A goy is going to be mevatla lechatchila.
Not on your behalf.
Let's take maple syrup, right? Where it's cooked hot and he puts in, a bit of tarpus in it.
Yeah.
And then he sells it to a yid. You can buy it.
That's, the shayla came to you after the fact. That's really different. But you can't go instruct the guy, I want you to be mevatelet on my behalf. That you can't do. If when you were ready, we see the finished product.
By Bishul Akim, he's never able to be at Mevatel because as soon as he's Mevatel at Lechatchila, it's again Bishul.
There are two different types of Bittel by Bishul Akim. By force, he goes into these questions. There is a situation with the ingredients. You have a dish. So in the dish, there's going to be some breadcrumbs, and there's going to be some other types of ingredients which are not subject to Bishul Akim. And the guy wants to put up, you want to let the guy prepare the dish. The guy will turn on the fire, and he's going to put the pot on the fire, and the ingredients are, 50% of the ingredients are things which are subject to Bishul Akim, and 50% are not subject. Is it mutter or usser? That's a bad example. 50-50 is no good. But if it was 51-49, it's good.
Vegetables,
well, Bisman Hazeh were very makel when it comes to vegetables. It's not subject to Bishul Akim. So vegetable soup, Bisman Hazeh, Ruba de Ruba, the types of vegetables that we use carrots and peas, we eat these things raw. So Bisman Hazeh, there's no problem with Bishul Akim when it comes to a vegetable soup. Point to many posts.
Regardless if it comes from the can or what? It's made new.
Doesn't make a difference. The vegetables are things which are eaten raw. Since they're eaten raw by most people, so cooking them is not called Bishul Akim. Water is certainly eaten raw. It's only eaten in a raw state. So water and vegetables, which are both not subject to Bishul Akim, if a guy will prepare for you a vegetable soup, it is permitted. Let's say I'll prepare a porridge, and in the porridge he's going to put in some type of matzah meal. Matzah meal, you're dealing with, that was already baked, but so, let's say you're dealing with some type of ingredient. I don't know the good examples, breadcrumbs. Some type of ingredient which, if he it would be, the entire dish would be comprised from that, those ingredients would be Bishul Akim. But now it's only a minority, it's mutter. As long as the majority ingredient of the dish that he's preparing is not subject to Bishul Akim, he is allowed lechatchila to prepare the dish. That's the halacha. Umekel, as long as the majority. If the majority, of course, is something which is forbidden, it is Bishul Akim, then he's not allowed to prepare the dish. Then there's another shayla of Bishul Akim when you have two dishes. You have something that was prepared by a guy that's usser, you got to throw in the garbage because Bishul Akim. And then you have another thing which is mutter. And somehow they get mixed together. The two things get mixed together. So there also, you say roiv, you follow roiv, whatever the majority is, as long as it's not noticeable, as long as the item that's prohibited becomes blended into the other item and it's not distinguishable, then it is mutter. But if it's distinguishable, even though it's a minority of the mixture, it is forbidden. Okay, those are the basic rules of bittul. Let's see further. What does perish shaloi nispashal milam kol tzarchan? What happens if you have fruits? The fruits are not ripe, and the only way these fruits can be eaten is only through pickling. And they cannot be eaten raw. And the only way they can be eaten shehu'umnim metagnim oisam bitzukar. Now here they fry it. So here it's heat, not pickling. It's fried with heat with sugar. So this case ois asur mishum bishulei oiveid koychavim. These types of fruits are asur, even though generally fruits are eaten raw, but not these fruits because these fruits are premature. They're not ripe, and they only can be eaten through heat. And therefore, it's asur. Yudbeis sheichar shel tua. Now we come to a new topic. Before we go to sheikh, let's look at the shemeshim halach that we didn't do. Let's say halach. Who be kalim, look at halacha here on the bottom. Kalim yesh tahat meis, achameis meis, vayim shav zeshuva shalom eshev, shakasav, the kan beluv beis acholim, sheesh harbi cholim in the hospital, in Lemberg. So tzach levash lochem of Shabbos, they have no choice. The hospital is in operation on Shabbos, and who is turning on the fire? E efshel esra kalim lemutzah Shabbos, the hu hefsid merubo, lochem mutar makalim mutzah Shabbos. Ayin sham, ramash mutar miyad beloy meis leis. Okay, this is a very, I'm sure there's no yelach lemais bezvan azeh in the hospitals. Maybe not, maybe the pilot lights are going on non-stop.
The nursing homes.
But he's saying over here a very big chiddush is that in nursing homes and in hospitals, anyway, that everything is mutter in the hospital anyway. But generally, if you have a situation in the hospital where it's not shaykh to kasha the kelim, to shut down the kitchen and kasha the kelim mitzoy Shabbos, so then you can be samech on the mekilim that kelim that were used to produce forbidden food, mishum bishalakum, do not need to be kashered. Especially when the food was prepared on Shabbos, and Shabbos was a zman when it was mutter to prepare the food because a Jew could not possibly prepare the food for the chayla on Shabbos itself.
Vav.
Absolutely, absolutely, 100%. Maybe you have shayla assisted living.
Yeah,
assisted living.
Forget about it, definitely not.
But in a nursing home for sure. Last time I've been in a nursing home, it's no different than a hospital. No different than a hospital, as far as the ones I've been to, at least.
No, but that's not necessarily so.
Then you're dealing in
going for rehab.
That's assisted living.
No.
Yeah. All right, okay, I don't know. I hear the even rehab. The minhag olam is to be extremely, extremely makel in anything associated with those words. That's the facts. The facts are anything associated with the word nursing home, if it already gets that term nursing home, already mutter. Hospital, forget about it. Hospital.
They used to be called old age homes, Moshe's Canaan. They evolved into
me. Isn't it? Are
your lettuce?
Someone's.
Oh, your lettuce is before Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah, but I'm talking about.
She
goes rehab.
No, she goes into the hospital.
Why did you say?
She goes the day before.
So it's also mutter.
That's she's called the shakana.
I think so.
The day before.
Yeah.
Terminology.
If she has to already go in, if she already has to go into the hospital.
The hospital procedure is we want you in because it's easier for us to do the blood work and
then
prepare.
If she has to be there, if the hospital wants her there, there's a reason for it. I know, let's go further.
Well, they get into trouble sometimes.
Okay, I don't know. Let's see further. Let's go. Let's see next. Let's talk about an egg, a raw egg. You can swallow the egg, a raw egg. What about milk? All milk today, by the way, is cooked to get rid of the bacteria. It's pasteurized. So who does the pasteurization of the milk? The goyim do it. Do the Jews light the fire when they turn on the machines? No. Why not? Because milk is not subject to bishalakum, because you can drink, technically you can drink milk before it's been pasteurized. So
where are you up to, Rabbi?
Up to Vav, on the bottom page, Resh Tezayin, page on the Vav. So, Shui Lugomachai, Bavin Cholof, I Yeshba Bishul Goyim. Now, he's touching upon the next simon. The next simon talks about when Chazal made a takana, we know that there's something called Yayin Nesach. You're not allowed to drink the wine Stami, and you're not allowed to drink the wine of Goy, because if Goy touches wine in the time of Chazal, they would pour the wine L'shem over the Zara. Then there's another din that you're not allowed to drink. There was a takana which was not accepted. Chazal wanted to prohibit Sheikhar, not to drink the beer of a goy. This was a takana that was made and was not accepted. She'ein roiv hatzibur yecholim la'amoid ba. It was too hard. Shemen also oil. It was an attempt. Now that's not because of avodah zarah. No, goyim are not pouring beer in front of idols. It's mishum chasnus. If you go into a bar, sit down with the goy to have a beer, you may get friendly with him, just like you'll get friendly when you eat his bread, and you get friendly when you eat his cooked dish, his cooked food. So he was in the takana. However, it was too difficult to adhere to, and the Chazal lumavatl the takana. So the question was, did Chazal ever make an attempt to ask for milk? Was that also part of the original takana? You're not allowed to drink milk. Nothing to do with bishulakum. Forget about bishulakum. Yes. Cooking. You're not allowed to drink the wine of a guy. You're not allowed to use an attempt. You should not be able to drink the beer. What about milk? So no, that was never accepted. Now what about a bishul? Of course not. There's no bishul because you can drink milk when it's raw. As far as the takana, a social drink, no, it's, that was not. As far as bishul, the Shulchan Aruch makes no mention of it. That milk is mutter. Milk is something which can be drunk chai. The only thing is basar, v'dog, tofel, certain type of fish. Okay, dog tofel doesn't mean every fish, it means a certain type of fish, which can only be eaten cooked with baits and eggs. So the Rambam is very clear that there's no issue whatsoever when it comes to milk.
You can have a goy in a wine factory pasteurizing the wine?
That's yayin nesach. A goy can't come anywhere near the wine.
What if you say you bishul on the yayin? How could a
guy
possibly
be bishul yayin? What does it say yayin? What does it say yayin?
Rambam,
the Sheh
Asuris,
Al Rambam, because of a guy she bishul on yayin, I call it mutter.
Yes, so how could he, it doesn't become yayin nesef?
So he didn't, maybe he didn't touch it. He didn't touch it. He didn't touch it. If he, yeah, the guy is not touching it,
he's putting on the fire.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it means. Even the guy did not touch, so there's no problem of yayin nesech, but there's a problem of the bishul. He did the pasteurization of the yayin. No, that's not an issue because these things can be eaten kmo shuchai. The ayin, but an egg is a problem of certain types of fish and basar for sure. The ayin b'taisves shakasu called over shnechel kmo shuchai going cholov beferish. So it's a tais also. Taisves makes very clear that it's mutul lechatchila. Harei lucha beferish the becholov ein iser bishul akum. It's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch left it out. The Shulchan Aruch left out when it says beferish and taisves, when it says beferish in the Rambam. It's a pella. Shulchan Aruch is always quoting from those two, especially from the Rambam, and it's left out from the Shulchan Aruch. Sheikhar otua, beer that's made from grain or from honey. Ayin b'shal tshuvas shem aryeh. Shehevi sham tana heter shenoigin b'achilas tzukar mishum shein b'vashem aloesh miyamish el nespashal alidei kiter haba mimayim rechsim. Smoke. Why is sugar part of the processing of sugar? Why are we allowed to use sugar that was processed by, cooked by a guy? L'chayra sugar in its raw state, I don't know how they manufacture sugar, but he seems to be suggesting that sugar in its raw state before it's cooked is not nechol kamo shuchai. In order to bring sugar into a state where it can be eaten, where it can be used, it has to be cooked. That's what he seems to say. I'm not familiar with the processing. That's what he seems to be saying. So why is it oser? So he says because it's not actually cooked, it's smoked. And he's taking the lenient opinion that smoking is not a problem. Aval nespash l'idei kitar, smoke, habo mimayim rechsim, from boiling water, derech steam, steam, derech konim v'tzinoros, to pipes, different types of network of pipes, v'loy oshu, rak mash nespash l'alho esh mamish. Bishul akim in Chazal's prohibition was esh mamish, not steam. V'hu docha shon tam zeh, he disagrees. The Sefer Shem Ari disagrees, he holds the gama, what is prepared, nespash l'idei tolodos esh, gam kenosav, v'nosham, therefore he holds that steam is a problem. And I told you yesterday, by forced, he says that the majority of the post, the majority of the Kashrut organizations are of the opinion that steam is the equivalent of bishul, and if you want it to be called bishul Yisrael, it has to be done with, it has to be done by a Jew. The fires, the steam has to be done by a Jew.
I have a question by Saul.
Yeah.
They have a lot of, there are some Hasidic Shishritas that will only salt the meat with pretzel salt, the makbe, because pretzel salt is the only salt that's not cooked.
Interesting.
All and salt is cooked before you use it. It's special pretzel salt. So they only use some of these.
And why then the salt is not in salt?
The makbet, they use only pretzel salt, and you have to use twice as much salt because it's not as coarse as the coarse salt that everybody uses.
And the regular salt, what's the problem with using regular salt that's been cooked?
It's
good on my guardian?
They want to show how kosher, but. You know, if you don't have pretzel salt, a lot of times they say, all right, so use the regular. But basically, they start off with that.
Okay.
Pretzel salt is mine salt?
It's not. It's the only salt that's not cooked. It's pretzel salt.
Okay, so therefore he disagrees. He doesn't tell us the reason. Over here he does not tell us the reason why it's mutter. I do not know why. Perhaps he holds that it's nechem or shuchai. It could be that in the processing, that sugar, even if you don't cook it, like with salt, he's saying it's no big deal. If you don't cook the salt, it'll also be salt. So it's nechem or shuchai. So what's the big deal? So seemingly that's what it comes from.
It's not really usable in its raw state. It's usable, but obviously
they cook it for a reason.
You're processing it to refine it.
But since technically it can be used in its raw state, it's not.
In its raw state, it's called molasses.
Yeah.
Molasses is raw state sugar.
Can you use it? What is it? Does it taste? What does it taste like? Sugar?
It's
depends what it's made from.
It's a syrup.
It's a syrup.
It's a syrup.
Because I don't know.
They make it from corn syrup too. That's syrup. Why a lot of those drinks are no longer.
Maybe it's not called the Michael and Nech al Shulchan Melachim. It's not a food.
But there's also another problem that no one ever talks about. I'm very surprised. The way they make white sugar is they filter it through what's called diaphanous earth. They have a room.
Yeah.
A mountain of earth, and you pour the sugar on top, and it comes out clean on the bottom. And that mountain is actually. Horse bones that have been burned.
Fleshics.
It's been for years. They have a good company has a yichas de kemah. They have this mountain of burnt. It's ash. It's already charcoal. It's everything.
Horse bones ash.
That's what they.
They burn it and they charcoal. It's called diaphanous earth. So that it has a property that all the dirt sticks to it and only the clear stuff comes through.
Interesting. Okay, let's see what it says over here. Menasa shem tamach la al sugar, al achil sugar, b'chem shal shuv shalom eshef. Herich ala heta achil sugar, ayin shamu. V'ikar ha-dover, e gam, dover shen espashal al tolos eish, nesar, this issue of steam, ayin dake tshuva, shehevi oi mikam gedil mechabrim, shech ziku, b'shid zod, ayde tolos eish, ein ein nesar, it's machleg zapois, like I told you, by force, he brings this up, and he tells, different cautious organizations have different opinions. The accepted view today is the machmir. Okay, now let's go to milk. Now we're coming to, or not finished, the sheikha. Let's go to Yudbeh, Lachah Yudbeis. Sheikha, beer, shel tvua, that is made by soaking hops. Grain, simply barley, the shel dvash, honey. You're allowed to drink beer even in a non-kosher store, provided that the beer is kosher, of course. Even though it's prepared, it's not called bishul. That's ruah butla b'mayim because the tzvua you're not actually eating the tzvua. That's why coffee is when it goes on to say coffee and tea and chocolate things like that because you're not actually eating the grain. You're only eating their flavor and flavor is davar shein by mamish and it's butla b'mayim. So there's no problem of drinking beer that has been prepared and cooked by a goy. The water is mutter and the beer flavor is not davar sheyesh by mamish and whatever it is anyway bottled. It's not insignificant. Doesn't matter. It's tam. Tam is not in Bishulakim was only in a davar sheyesh by mamish. And any davar sheyesh by mamish that seeps out, that's not filtered, which is today probably impossible. Today it's probably filtered to such a perfect degree, there's not going to be any davar sheyesh by mamish where anyone would bottle. But tam, flavor is the Chazal never were misakin bishul akum on flavor. We're only misakin in a davar sheyesh by mamish. Rak shetik lachor yimein by mamid must have bishul bishmor yain. Make sure that it's kosher because sometimes they use wine. They use some derivative of the vine, and that's the yain esach. So that they have to be careful with kashrus issues. Makom sheyisrael mezalzim nikilim yain. He makes now a takana in a place where Jews hang out in the bar. And you can imagine that's not a very good place for a Jew to be in a non-kosher or non-Jewish bar with other goyim, and the things that they say and things they do there is not going to be good. Mizalzim makilim b'yayin shalav l'chavim yesh l'bal nefesh l'hachmer es atzma gam b'sheichar. Then you should make takonis to distance yourself from goyim by not even drinking their beer. Maybe you'll stay away from their places.
You go to a brewery because then the brewery doesn't have any wine.
The brewery
because there's yayin.
No, he says, just be careful, make sure that sometimes when they prepare beer in ancient times, they would throw in some wine. They would use wine as a stimulant, an ingredient, an enzyme to stimulate the process. Just make sure it's kosher. If you know that it's kosher, it's mutter. And it's mutter, there's no takana of not drinking the beer of a guy. That's number one. And there's no... problem of bishulakum, because the water is not subject to bishulakum, and the flavor of beer that appears in the final product is only flavor, it's not actual davar sheyesh by mamish. So there's no problem, it's mutter, even though it comes from two and two would normally be something which would be bishul, but not in this case because it's davar sheyesh by mamish. Fine. Now what about uveinyan shtias coffee? Are you allowed to brewed coffee? Okay, we're not dealing with instant. Instant is problematic. Instant could be because instant imamish is it's not a davar sheyesh by mamish. It's not just tam it's not bottled. There's something there. But what about brewed coffee? Beloy cholov without milk, of course, because over here he's dealing with milk. It's cholvakum. He's dealing before America, before the head of America, according to Rav Moshe, government regulation without milk, of course. The idim cholov vade aser, because milk outside the United States before when this was written was certainly aser. V'chein chocolata, chocolada, chocolate. Chocolada, the tea, chocolate and tea, eights of gechavim, shomer nafsha yircha kesatzmai, you should distance yourself. Chocolate and tea, you should not because of halachic reasons, but because of, you may come to get too friendly. Since these are things are eaten, you eat this in a social setting, he's just giving you good advice. He's not telling you, I'll help you halach, it's asr, but it's not a good thing to go and socialize with. Can you imagine what we would say about Facebook? social media?
It's virtual. It's not worse than
Tom. We learned yesterday about the laws.
Also.
We learned yesterday about the laws of Yichud. Okay, so you know it's in Yichud with the brother, sister, mother, and all the married women, the husbands in the town. All these very, very, very difficult halachas, very extreme chumras. So I went to somebody in Yeshua and Yichud and said, "Could you imagine what would Chazal say?" The one thing is certain: if Chazal were alive today, there's no doubt. This is what this postik said. There's no doubt in my mind they would make an Isser Yichud with a computer. That's what he said, and he's really right. Madach, they made an Isser Yichud, you're not allowed to be alone with your great-great-grandmother five times removed and this and that, because it's halacha. Allah has kavakam, it would solve all the problems. Just, you don't have to have any filters, you don't have to have anything. All you need is an Isser Yichud. You're not allowed to be alone with a computer connected to the internet. And it's very true, that would probably solve 99% of the problems. Because what you do alone is not what you do when someone is watching you. But there is no Isser Yichud. You can't make new takanis. Chazal did not make an Isser Yichud, so you can't make an Isser Yichud. You can't make an Isser Yichud, so now we have all these... What?
They're trying.
They can't. They'll never make an Isser Yichud. They'll never make it. Okay, so they give you advice. But it's a very interesting thing. And it's so true. Logically. Chazal made an Isser Yichud. Allah has kind of a combo. What can happen alone is scary. Fine, let's go further over here. Then he concludes over here. Occasionally you could have a social gathering with a guy, but don't do this, don't get too comfortable. Let's take a look at... I'm really out of time because I want to do... Okay, let's just do one halacha. Dunkin' Donuts, why? Why is he asking Dunkin' Donuts? But you're eating by your own table, you're not eating together with a guy. He's saying over here, dining with a guy, having a tea with a guy.
So you're taking in a workmate, you're going to visit... So
you're going on a business meeting. You're going on a business meeting to discuss something, so you take him out to lunch, and you're drinking with him tea.
So the food, let's say, the donuts...
Everything is kosher. The tea is kosher. Okay. It's dining together at a social setting with the guy. You can't necessarily say it's social. It's business. You take him out to a business meeting to discuss something very important over lunch. So that's not... You want to hire him, you want to interview him. That's not social. That's just a technique. But a pure social setting, only derech arai. Arai is okay, but not to have a kvias of having a social interaction with goyim, even when the food is kosher and there's no bishulakum, it's still not the right thing to do. Okay, let's just learn the halacha and then we'll stop. And then we'll do the shurim next time. Cholof shecholva oivik oichave, milk that has been milked by a non-Jew. The ein yisrael roeu, a Jew did not see the milking process, asura, the milk is categorically forbidden. If you did not see the milk, the Jew did not see the milk come out of the cow, out of the udder of the cow, the milk is categorically forbidden. Afilu lasos mimenu gvina, even to make cheese, even though cheese, you only can only curdles, it's kosher. The Metzias is non-kosher milk. Milk that comes from non-kosher animals, the Metzias Yitzias is, does not curdle, does not turn into cheese. So it's passed the test. The litmus test is if this milk will curdle, turn into cheese, that means the milk came from a kosher animal. What could you possibly want? Doesn't matter. You're still not allowed to use that milk because sometimes they mix different, the majority, even 95% of the milk can be kosher milk, and they'll add 5% of non-kosher milk, and the majority of the kosher milk will be enough to cause the milk to curdle, to turn into cheese, and the part that does not curdle will just be pockets of milk that will remain in cavities in the cheese, and you'll never know about it. So it is forbidden. The cow belongs to a Jew. Anyway, listen, the cow doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who the cow belongs to. If a guy presents you with milk, it does not matter. The guy presents you with milk, and this was the original takana. The original takana Chazal, we're so brainwashed with the heter from Rav Moshe that we don't relate to the original takana. But in time of Chazal, if a guy presents you with a cup of milk, you're not allowed to drink it. It is forbidden for you to drink it because there's a real concern that the milk, part of the milk, is from a non-kosher animal. Even though it looks and smells like kosher milk, that's the look of kosher milk, but that's what they would do. They were non-kosher animals that produced milk, and they would mix in order to, and it was much cheaper, to produce a product. You have to be present when they start the milking. The yiresh she'akli hunaki, make sure that the bowl, the bucket they use to collect milk is clean before they begin. It should not be filled with milk from who knows from where it came from. The custom was not to use the kelim of goyim. Even the kelim of goyim, it's cold, it's kosher, there's no issue. There's a chumrah. The chumrah is you only use for kosher milk, you use special kelim.
So what's the difference between what we call
it? Hey, let's finish it all, then we'll talk about it. Ushvachai shecholvai sabahemos, the basic. So what about housekeepers that milk the animals in Jewish homes or bedir shluchem in the corral of a Jew? Kol makom she'ein beis oiv gechavim maspik. Any time that the area is completely contained, fenced in, and there is no non-Jewish facility that is present, that is connected in any shape or form to the Jewish place, then it is mutter. There's not a goyish house is not in between one and the other. And you are absolutely certain that they are not bringing in this vicinity non-kosher animals. Mutter afilu lichatchila lihanichon lachlov. You can let the non-Jewish workers lichatchila milk the animals on your behalf. Aval in base of a chav mafsik, but let's say it's a Jewish facility, but there's an open door, and across the street, or in the middle of the room, or here and there, it's very easy to bring in, to go connect to the non-kosher facility where goyim are milking their own cows, and who knows what else they're doing there. Then here is very clear that a mashkiach does not need to be an adult. A mashkiach for milk, at least for milk, can be even nine years old is enough.
This is only talking when the guy is being milked, the cow.
Right.
The guy doesn't touch the cow.
Say it's not my machine. No, it doesn't matter. The process. Okay, now
the cows automatically walk to the machine.
I know. But Rav Moshe comes along, and Rav Moshe came along, and Rav Moshe said that in America, the chiddush of Rav Moshe, the whole world relies upon this government regulation. The fact that in the United States, and his head was only for the United States, you have to know it goes on other countries, if milk is monitored by the Department of Agriculture, and if they play games, and they do anything illegal, they are fined, and they are shut down, mirsas, they are afraid. So Moshe holds that me'ikar hadin, there is no issue in America with cholav akum.
40 years ago.
Today, yeah.
It's completely changed.
It's even better today, right?
Today, if you're at a farm, no one's there. The gate opens, it's divided into sections with cows. At a certain time, the gate of one section opens, the cows by themselves walk to the machine. The machine not only milks them, the machine prints out a computer record how much percent butterfat on each cow, which goes on a chip in the cow's ear or whatever, and it's kept, and then the cow walks out back. You don't see anybody until the end of the day when they come to the big tank, They plug it in, they load down the computer information.
Well, he plugs the machine into the cow.
Then automatically it's done. It's a
smart cow thing.
It's a revolving machine. The cow goes in, the machine. It's all done automatically. Automatically, even the feed is given to them. You don't see a person there all day, just the person reloads the feed and. They don't touch it.
Do you have a video?
So what's the difference between problem OUD? Manipulating the
OUD. In Israel, they do it all the time.
But what's the difference between OUD, Shabbos, like tusk and milk or something?
Yeah.
And Chol of Yisrael.
OUD is in the government. It's what we call Chol of Stan. In America, a new term was invented.
What is it?
Before America, before Moshe came on the scene, there was something called Chol of Yisrael and Chol of Akum. Chol of Akum is Osir. There's nothing to talk about. If a guy presents you with milk, the guy milked the animal, the guy presents you with milk, and the Jew did not observe, there was no mashkiach observing where the milk comes from, that's called Cholov Akum, and Cholov Akum is Osir. Then there's Cholov Yisrael. And Moshe came along and he basically said that in America there's no such thing as Cholov Akum because the government is equivalent to a Jewish mashkiach. Just like a child who's 9 years old is believed to say that the milk came from a kosher cow, and the there's not been any mixture of anything that's non-kosher in this milk, so the government is no worse in the United States than a 9-year-old child. They're no worse. So therefore, but it still belongs to a guy, so we can't call it Cholov Akum, so they invented a new term called Cholov Stam. It's a new term, American term, Cholov Stam. That milk that comes from, you buy in the store, that a Jew, there was no mashkiach, no Jew ever laid his eyes on what happened, that, to be sure that this milk came from a kosher cow, everything is kosher v'yosher, it's kosher. Because the government regulation is equivalent to Jewish to a mashkiach. We're not going to call the Chol of Yisrael because a Jew never laid his eyes on the milk, but we're not going to give it the status of what Shulchan Aruch calls Chol of Akum, so we'll call it a new term called Chol of Stam.
Well, Rabbi Meir said it. What is it? Where's the Chol of Yisrael mashkiach?
There is no mashkiach.
The Chol of Yisrael
is? The Chol of Yisrael there is.
Oh, that's
Chol of Yisrael, if you...
If it's the Jewish milk, the Chol Yisrael goes to have...
There's a mashkiach. You're paying a few cents more to have someone watch, a Jew to watch, to make sure everything is done. It's done according to Halacha.
It goes in and out.
It goes in and out. You have some degree of Jewish supervision. There's almost no difference. There's almost no difference between a Jew and between a... So this is the head of Rav Moshe. The big problem is...
It's nothing. It's like a
hechsher
on salt.
You don't need it. They want to make sure they don't need any preservatives. Because today we live in such a complex world. Just because you buy milk, they probably add something into the milk.
What about the cow?
They probably add vitamins. Doesn't say vitamin D they put in milk.
Yeah,
what?
Vitamin A,
I'm coming down in a second. So they add ingredients into milk. No such thing.
Milk today, vitamin without, D, having OU or okay, whatever. Can you buy milk in?
I don't know the answer. Can you drink milk without a hechsher today?
Probably yes.
Even if
the main problem was other things now that they started a few years ago talking about the stomach things.
Even if they add the vitamin D, which they do, it's a problem for Pesach because the vitamin D is a chametz.
Okay,
but
so you see.
There
are many a term. There's no question the types of things that they add, if they do anything, even if it is not kosher, it's bottled, there are many, many a term. The reason why there's an OU is just another layer of to guarantee that nothing non-kosher has been added into the milk. That's the kashrus issue. But a Jew never laid his eyes on the milking process. The raw milk comes into the factory, and that we trust the government. That gives it the status of Chol of Stam. And if Moshe says that it's perfectly fine, there's nothing wrong with it, it's 100% permitted. Now, you bring up another issue. What's become very interesting in modern times is that today everything is so high-tech, not all the animals are as healthy as we would want them. So they have very sophisticated medical procedures where they puncture the stomach of cows, what they're not even called cows, they're called by something else, whatever they're called. They puncture their stomachs, they do medical procedures so that they can they can produce more, or they're ill. They do certain things. In halacha, it's still an issue. In halacha, the problem is that this someone made a big tumult that what they're doing by puncturing their stomach, by giving them these injections, doing these medical procedures, you're making them into a trefa. Because the halacha is if there's a hole in one of the four stomachs of a cow, it is a trefa. And this hole seems to fit all of the rules in Shulchan Aruch of what is called a hole, which makes the animal into a trefa. So it comes out that the milk that is being produced by these cows, or a significant number of these cows, is milk that's coming from an animal that is a trefa. Now the problem is, you'll ask me, what do you mean? If you'll do a shechita on a healthy cow, go to a Chol Vishol factory, where they never did any procedure, and you'll do a shechita. No, it's not a government requirement. It's not. Not what I've read. It's not a government requirement. But let's say you go to Eretz Yisrael, you go to a Haredi farm, and the cows, no one had touched the cows, and they're producing milk. And now one day they say, you know, we're going to shech the cows. We're going to do shechita, we're going to do a bedik on the lungs. Probably 80% of the animals you wouldn't eat, because they don't meet your standards of kashrus. They're not glatt. And maybe they're not even kosher. Who knows? They'll find their mamish trefus. So that means that for the last 2 years, I've been drinking milk from this animal, and this animal was a trefa. That means the milk was trefe. No. You don't say that. What you don't know is good for you. As long, really, that's what it is. You go baser roif. Most animals are healthy animals. Therefore, in halacha, you have no reason whatsoever to assume that the animal is a trefa. You can 100% assume the animal is a healthy animal, even though you find that it was a trefa. Afterwards, that doesn't make one bit of a difference. But if you take the animal to the vet and you do a medical procedure and you cut it open and you cut open the stomach and you do all these things to it, you know for a fact that it's a trefa. Oh, it's a trefa, then the milk is trefe. You're not allowed to drink the milk from the animal. That's posh, you're not allowed to. Problem is, in the secular world, that's what they do. They take these animals and they do these medical procedures, and seemingly it appears that they are trefas. So this is a very big controversy. Many poskim, it's nothing new. It seems like this is going on in the time of Rav Moshe, it's going back way back. Just today it's more advanced. And Rabbi Belsky, among many others, poskim, that it's not a trefa. The procedure they do, the way they do the procedure is they do it in a very complicated way where they don't make a direct hole. They make, there are many layers of skin in the stomach, and the hole is not mefulosh. The deal goes up, and then they bend, they go this way, that way, whatever they do. Rybelsky Paskins, in the laws of trefus, it's not a trefa. Now, as you can imagine, not everyone is happy with every psak, everyone has different opinions. So what has become something very interesting, this is a very fascinating concept and topic, which is obviously, as the time goes on, it's going to get more and more complex, is that in the Chol of Yisrael farms, or the truth is, the Chol of Yisrael, the industry, they really use the same factories and the same things as the goyim, just they have mashkichim there at this at the time when they take their portion. They made a deal. This is what I've read. Is everything I'm saying true? I don't know. This is what I've read. They've made a deal with the government, with these big companies who produce milk, is that let us have all of the animals that have not done these medical procedures. So not every animal needs these medical procedures. The ones that you don't touch, we want to keep for ourselves. And you'll keep the other animals, and they'll know the difference, and to you it doesn't matter, and to us it matters, and they work out a deal. So that means that if you have milk that's Chol of Yisrael today, not forget about the issue, this whole issue of Moshe's Psak, of Chol of Stam, Chol of Yisrael, and then you get into Kabbalah, that the Baal Nefesh, the other inyanim of Chol of Yisrael, but you're getting milk from an animal that has less questions of Hilchos Trefus. So Chol of Yisrael today has taken on a whole new meaning that never existed 100 years ago. 100 years ago, if even 50 years ago, this Chol of Yisrael, Chol of Stam, what's the difference Chol of Yisrael, Chol of Stam? Nothing. The only difference is, was there a Jewish Mashkiach, or was the government the Mashkiach? Maybe the government's even better than the Jewish Mashkiach. They don't take breaks, who knows, whatever. But today it doesn't mean that. Today it means, Chol of Yisrael means that the animal you got the milk from never was under the knife, never had that surgery. And that means you don't have a shayla, is it a trefa? Now, what's the difference? Rabbi Belsky Paskins that it's kosher, it's not called a trefa. Okay, so they're machnirim. Not everyone wants to abide by that psak. There are people that are always looking for trouble. They're looking to be machmir. As long as he finds something to be machmir, they wouldn't be machmir. And there are other issues that this is developing. This concept of things that they're going to do to the non-kosher animals, the things that they're doing to milk that comes from chalav stam, they're not doing to milk. That's chalav Yisrael. So there is definitely an advantage in chalav Yisrael in that it's a more kosher animal. Not just the fact that the animal has been, there's been a Jew that has observed the milking process.
But I also heard the ads, they have ads, what Mario was saying, they feed them extra stuff, which is not the procedure. You know, I think I've got which milk it is.
They don't feed them chametz. They don't feed them chametz before Pesach.
What happens is the operation is for excess gases.
Yeah.
So what they do is they have a special feed. They know if they feed them this feed, they don't have the gases. And it's more expensive.
More expensive. So the consumer pays the price. The kosher chol Yisrael is more expensive. Okay, so this is what it's all about.
Now what happens to that chol Yisrael? It uses the same tankers, the same machinery, and they get mixed.
They get mixed. Not necessarily. They haven't worked out. It's bottled. Mizmix, nazmix. Okay, always coming on to it anyway. You're right. Kashrus always comes on to it. Every organization uses. You know, I don't want to use the OU. I only use the Hamisha. The Hamisha Hashkachas. Yeah, do you know the Hamisha, the ingredients in the Hamisha Hashkachas? There are 50 ingredients in the Hamisha product, and every single one of those 50 ingredients is under the Hashkach of the OU. So it's nonsense. Everyone needs to come on to everyone. And the OU needs to come on to the other people also. Everyone.
They're all interdependent. Do someone else's.
What?
They don't rely on the other one.
Sometimes the ingredients.
Of course.
When you have a product that's being manufactured in a big company, and there are certain ingredients.
Is another mashgiach on it? They will not.
It depends. They do their investigation. Let's say the ingredient comes from another country, and the only one that's giving the hechsher on that ingredient from this other country is a Lubavitcher guy that's independent.
They hire.
Do they take him on? They on the payroll? Not necessarily.
They
incorporate him in the OU. The OU has a policy. We trust this person. He's on our good list. Everyone has to come on to someone else, and especially the Hasidim. They certainly are coming on to the OU. All of their products.
They can't read English. They can't read the ingredients.
All of them are products. Are all the ingredients are from the ingredients that the OU is the one that is giving the hashgacha. Okay, let's take a 2-minute break. I want to share with you one idea before we dive.